Make no mistake, if you're an author, you're an entrepreneur. You're selling the world on your book, aren't you? Of course, it's not as easy as launching a business and then tossing any old book up on Amazon. That's why I help entrepreneurs publish books on the specific topic and in the specific way that will launch or grow their businesses. Welcome to Entrepreneur Publishing Academy with your professor, Anna David. Well, hello there and welcome to Entrepreneur Publishing Academy, aka EPA. Aka EPA is a pretty confusing sentence, but otherwise known as EPA. Whew, enough of that. I'm your host, Anna David. You do know that this is brought to you by Book Elevator Pitch, which you can access at bookelevatorpitch.com, where you will get a template and examples for your book elevator pitch. So today, I have a special treat for you, just like I do every week, but this one's more special because this one is all about how to pre-sell books before you even write or hire somebody to write and publish your book for you. Mm-hmm. It is an interview with Dan Nicholson, who's, like a crazy sort of beautiful mind level genius. And he has written a book where he shares his secrets with you. He graduated summa cum laude from Seattle University. He worked at all these Fortune 500 companies. He has been named CPA Practice Advisors 40 Under 40 list of global accountants 4 times. But that's not what his book is about. That's not what he's passionate about. He's passionate about what he had to unlearn from all of those impressive things. And now through his 20-week online course, Certified Certainty Advisor, he teaches other people how to, quote, get lucky. So I'm honored to say that Legacy Launchpad is publishing his book. It is now out and it is called Rigging the Game. And as he explains in this episode, if he's going to write a book called Rigging the Game, he better rig the book game. And that is exactly what he did. He wanted to test out if he should even do a book. And so he pre-sold copies. The way he did it is pretty ingenious. So I'm going to let you listen. And if you would like the show notes, which has links to related episodes and where you can get Dan and his book and a special link for his book, which you want to get, go to legacylaunchpadpub.com/blog/Nicholson. And now I give you Dan Nicholson. Thanks for doing this, Dan.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
So let's talk about what I think is very fascinating, which is you were able to pre-sell copies of your book. Please tell me and the listeners how you were able to do that.
Yeah, well, first off, the title of the book is called Rigging the Game. And so I felt like if I'm going to use a preposterous, ostentatious, and a slightly pretentious title like Rigging the Game, that I better actually rig the game to sell the books.
Fair.
Otherwise, I would just look like a giant asshole. I mean, I might look like that either way, but it felt like I had to rig the game to sell a book called Rigging the Game.
If you're ever going to look like an asshole, it would be when you were wearing your team mascot chicken outfit. Was it chicken?
I'm offended by that. It's a red hawk. It's not a chicken. And a much fiercer bird than a chicken.
And you paid money to do that. Nobody was paying you. You were paying for the opportunity.
Yeah, that's factually correct.
Okay.
My defense. It was a fundraiser for my school, Seattle University. And the fundraiser was the first outing after we had our first daughter. Not first in that sentence. And so I had not consumed alcohol in a while. And I was tired. Very, very tired. So, you know, they make sure in these auctions, rightly so, to give you alcohol as quickly as possible.
Smart.
You're barely in the door. You've got 2 drinks in your hand. They are ready to take your money. And so I'm looking through the list of things and I see mascot. I'm like, I would be entertained by this. I should raise my PowerPoint. So it comes up on the list and there's all these things like a rare collection of 100 bottles of wine and these great trips and all this stuff. And then mixed in between is who wants to be Rudy the Red Hawk, right? So somebody raises their paddle And the bidding has begun. So I raised my paddle. And that was the last paddle that was raised.
And we're not going to ask how much you paid because we really want the listeners to respect you is the thing. If I'm feeling masochistic, no, if I'm feeling abusive, I will link to that video in the show notes, but TBD. So
I feel like I showed off some pretty good dance moves in that mascot, in my defense.
I think it's fine that you think that. No, they are. They're not bad. They're not bad. And I'm a trained dancer.
Yeah. So, if you do, because I feel like you're going to link to it. I feel like that's probably happening regardless, or at some point you're going to share it.
Probably.
Also, in my defense, when you wear the mascot out, I learned a couple things. One, don't get drunk and go to an auction and raise your paddle, because turns out not very many people want to be the mascot. So you're just going to win.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing. The second thing is small boys really want to hit you in the privates and try to rip off the mascot costume. So while I'm trying to dance with this whole like kid dance that they do, what's not properly captured in the video is how many boys are trying to hit me in the privates at the same time and rip off my mascot or rip off the head. So
fair warning.
Those people who aspire to be mascots.
Okay, I'm going to do something really annoying. I'm going to cut this part. Will you plug the mic in again? Now it sounds weird. I'm sorry. Why am I apologizing for your mic? You're going to thank me later. Talk, please.
Is that better?
Yeah, it's a million times better. We're going to keep doing cutting that part. Okay, so let's talk about how you were able to pre-sell these books. What did you do?
Yeah, so there's kind of two steps. The first was trying to justify if I even was going to do the book to begin with. And I had this sort of, this is one of the principles that I actually write about in the book, which is to take a micro step and have a predefined target. So it's like, mm-hmm. Let me take a small step. And the predefined target was, can I sell 100 copies? And if 100 people from my list buy. So I posted in this Facebook group, a few people bought, but what I did was that I when they bought, they got an email, which was, hey, if you share that you purchased, like a screen grab, that you purchased the book and post it in the group and say, Dan, please give me this bonus. I bought your book and I'll give you a bonus. So then you would open up, so like 10 people bought right away and you go into the Facebook group and there's just post after post after, Dan, I bought your book. I want your, please send me the bonus. Now what people are doing is like, well, what is the bonus? So then FOMO kind of kicked off and then we sold 100 copies pretty quickly from that sort of getting them to buy, but then having them post to then create FOMO so that other people would want to buy to get the bonus. And of course they would post. And so then it kind of pretty quickly escalated and we sold the 100, actually we sold a couple hundred from that like little campaign.
That is genius. How big is the Facebook group?
So it was like 1,000 people in the group and like almost 200 bought.
Those are good numbers. And what was the bonus?
It was a pre-recorded couple of trainings that we already had as assets kind of laying around.
What if it was the video of you as the mascot? That would have been a bummer. Or maybe very exciting.
Yeah. I mean, we'll never know.
We'll never know. Okay. So you priced it. You said, I should know this, but you told them it was how much, or how did you figure that out? How'd you decide?
I told them it's $97. So I sold $297.
And I didn't realize that it was actually that much. Genius. Okay. And so then you said, I don't know when you're even going to get this. Is that what you said?
I did.
So let's talk a little bit about who these people are. They are Dan Nicholson fans in this group. What is this group?
Yeah, they are business owners primarily, or what I would call purpose-driven entrepreneurs. So they want their business to exist to serve them. And and so it's not like we got a 10x everything kind of thing. It's more like the answer depends. It depends on what you want. And so they'd seen my face and heard that content for quite a while. And I had built up a reputation with them that, hey, for some reason, I'm not going to do this, I'll refund you. So if I don't get to 100, or it is, I think I said, if I don't get to 20, I'll just refund you. And the beauty was is that it was a principle that I already taught them about taking a micro step and having a predetermined target. And so it's like, here's me just doing the thing that I tell you to do. So part of the like follow-up afterwards was, I'm going to show you how I actually sold them. Like, hey, and it's just doing the thing that we teach you to do. That's going to be in the book, by the way.
I love that. And so they, in addition to getting a copy of the book, what else are they getting?
They got some trainings on how I sold 100 copies and some other assets that we'd already had laying around.
Oh, I see. And so how long between you doing that and the book release, how much time passed?
That was about 2 years ago. So it was a while ago.
So it's a patient group.
Pretty patient group. Between those kind of initial 200, I sold another almost 2,600 copies about a year after that.
Okay, so let's talk about that. So you said, okay, well, I sold 200. I'd like to sell more.
Yeah, so at that point, so I sold the 200 and then I was kind of self-publishing and then I thought, well, maybe I'll see if I can get a publisher and someone that I connected with through this website called Publishizer, which is like a crowdfunding.
Oh, yeah.
Selling books. They'd asked me to run a campaign. And so I thought about it and I looked to see who the top seller was. Like, okay, again, if I'm going to call this rigging the game, I have to beat the current top seller. Also, side note, I have an unhealthy relationship with competition. So I'm always kind of thinking that I have to outsell someone, which is, you know, a whole other part of my.
Or a very healthy relationship with competition.
Yeah. So what was going on? Okay, so I decided to do this campaign and I was also launching this business called CertainTU, or rebranding an existing business more accurately. And I have an app that's kind of related to my curriculum, related to what the book is going to be about, called the CertainTU app. And so I was kind of trying to figure out how can I get as many users onto the CertainTU app? And so I thought, well, let me create a credential around the CertainTU operating system because it's a different way of kind of approaching things. And I'm going to create sort of an army of what I call certified CertainTU advisors. And they're going to want to push their clients to use this app because the app helps them implement the methodology. So creating a curriculum to get more users onto the app. Okay. And I thought, okay, well, I'm going to use this curriculum to finish creating the content for my book. This is something I teach in the book as well, called the four lenses. And I'm basically trying to create what's called asymmetry. I want significant upside to the downside. And so I'm kind of creating this flywheel where if I do the course, I'm going to put more people, I'm going to get more people to use the app. And if I create the course, I can get the remaining content for the book. Mm-hmm. So that's sort of all interconnected. And so what I did was I told people, if you want to sign up for the course, you have to buy at least 200 copies of my book. And I will, whatever you purchase in total quantity will go towards you. If you're selected into the program, then it will be applied towards your tuition. So you go, you got to buy at least 200 copies. That's part of your application. And then if we select you, we'll credit you the purchase amount towards your tuition. So then, of the
go on.
I was going to say, so of the 2,600 copies that I sold over the 2-week campaign for this pre-sale, about like 1,800 of them came from, 1,800 to 2,000 came from my audience of people who wanted to be part of this new curriculum and certification.
And in terms of practical steps, how'd you take the payment? If somebody listening wants to do this, don't get intimidated by Dan's numbers, because it can be any number. You could try to sell, you know, 100, 200 books, but how did you actually, did you set up a payment page? What did you do?
Yeah. So Publishizer has their own sort of payment thing built into their crowdfunding app. But so that's how those sort of 2,600 copies were processed. For the first 200, it was like a very, very simple checkout page through Kartra. Mm-hmm. Really, you could use any kind of landing page with Stripe built into it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the way I typically sell is if you got a a post or an email that goes to like a Google Doc that has some explanation of what's going on. And then that has a link to a checkout page. And then if enough people buy, then I'll take the next step and turn the Google page into an actual landing page.
I love it. And by the way, I had Jesse Krieger on the podcast. He's since left Publishizer, which I think has a different name, but we did an episode exactly about crowdfunding with him. And so let's talk about, so the book, would you call the book the sort of cheat sheet to what people would get by it? Okay. So the program on your website, it's right now, it's selling for $997, correct?
That's a different, I'm not sure the program you're looking at. Our Certified Certainty Advisor program, which is a 20-week course and then includes a year of monthly Q&A and 4 quarterly summits, that's $45,000.
Okay, what I'm looking at is The Secret to Thriving in Any Economic Cycle, which is a course, I guess. Is that still available?
That is a course that I did a couple of years ago. That was a course that predated building out the Certified Certainty Advisor stuff. So that's a that's not a live course. That's a pre-recorded.
Sorry, guys. If you want the live course. So how are you using the book to educate people about the program?
So the book is essentially a very condensed version of the 20-week course. And so as you read through the book, and if you want more kind of case in points and practical application and how could I make this part of my business or how could I teach this to other folks, then you'd want to enroll in the course.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about the course, the biggest value add to the course is not just the course, but as cliche as it sounds, it's like the 20 other students that are within your cohort.
Yeah.
So in each of these cohorts, it's incredible how close they're like, I can't guarantee this, but they're like best friends. And they're like, nobody understands me better than you, because what we're teaching is these principles and fundamentals, but also we're teaching you to what we call play your game, which is lean into who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe, and sadly, most of the programs that are out there are like, hey, become someone totally different. That's how you're going to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've come from all these programs where they didn't get results and they were told there's only one way to do it. And they were told to become someone else. And when they didn't get results, they were told, well, that's because your mindset is wrong. And they come into our program, it's like, well, actually, your greatest strength is your greatest strength. So why are we ignoring your greatest strength?
And what are some of the results that you've seen? I mean, if people are, your program is not about, let's just make more money. It is a full lifestyle. Is that accurate to say?
Yeah, it's how to live it's how to be a purpose-driven entrepreneur. So what does that mean? It means that your business, your investments, your assets exist to serve you, which seems obvious. Why wouldn't they? Why wouldn't they exist to serve you? But most of our businesses, we're serving it. Right. It's not serving us. And so to me, the biggest risk in life outside of death is not getting what you want. Mm. That cliche story of being on your deathbed and looking back and reflecting and all these what ifs. And so what we teach is how to basically play your game, be who you are, fund what you want in your life, but through this orientation of least amount of effort, least amount of risk, most amount of options.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't say no effort. I didn't say no risk. It's relative to all the possible outcomes, right? Because it turns out that most entrepreneurs are taking the most amount of effort, taking on the most amount of risk, and they put themselves in a position where they have no options. Mm. Either it works or I'm doomed.
Mm.
And there's a better way. It doesn't have to be that way. And so that's what we teach.
And you had to go through quite a journey to get to the point where you understood this. Like, you were the guy who did all the quote unquote right things.
Yeah.
And what happened once you reached the sort of height of success of doing all the right things?
Yeah, I had to unlearn a lot of things. So I went to business school and worked for one of the big global consulting firms, Deloitte. Main clients were small companies like Microsoft and companies that were funded by people like Warren Buffett. And so I did all the know, things that look really good on a resume, and then I ultimately want to be an entrepreneur, I start running businesses and I'm just getting slapped in the face, punched in the gut, whatever physical attacks that you want to think of. I'm like, but I'm doing all the right things. You know, I'm doing all the research. I got mentors. I'm signing up for all these programs. So I'm finding these, you know, experts in areas that I'm not an expert. Why is it not working? And that's when I realized that a small distinguishment that changed everything, which is in Fortune 500 businesses or publicly traded company, you have one single mission, and that is to maximize shareholder value. Everything you do comes back to maximize. And so you have a fiduciary responsibility as a CEO of a company like that to maximize. Now, the problem as a small business owner is you do not have the resources to maximize. Maximize have the most today. You have to optimize. And so optimize is what's the most efficient path forward towards the things that you want. Mm-hmm. And so it may sound like nuance, but once you realize that I'm moving from maximize to optimize, you realize that, well, all the business tools I'm being taught are based off maximize. But if I need to optimize, I have to learn something new. Mm-hmm. So that realization, as simple as it is, it's simple but not easy to move from maximizing to optimize, is then what led me to coming up with kind of this whole operating system and rewiring the way that I approach things.
And how long ago did you first come up with it?
I realized the maximize versus optimize about 6 years ago. So it took me about 6 years of trial and failure, or trial and error, to realize, hey, this isn't working, but I have, at that point, had thousands of clients, like, it's not working for them either. They're actually having the same problems. So there's got to be a better way.
And so you just made me absolutely forget. It's your fault what I was about to say. Is the book for small business owners? Is it for all entrepreneurs? Who is the book for?
So it's for the business owner who identifies as purpose-driven. And my wife is like, what? No one knows what purpose-driven is. And to which I said, well, that's why I picked it, because then people ask you, what is purpose-driven? And I learned that lesson a long time ago. In my first part of my career, very first part, I was just out of college. I was single, and I was doing a fellowship where I was writing an accounting standard in Connecticut outside of New York City. So there's like no single 22-year-old like females, or very few. And so you can imagine you go out to a bar and they're like, oh, what do you do? Like, oh, I write accounting standards. They're like, okay, so you're basically the most boring person in this entire bar. And there's a lot of boring people here. So I realized I had to say like something like, I'm a business person. And they'd be like, what is a business person? And so similar with the purpose-driven entrepreneur is like, well, what is that? And so that is, long story long, a person who they want their business to serve them. It's not about 10X. It's not about the hustle mentality. It's about, I started this thing for a very specific reason or set of reasons, and I'm going to make sure that it's actually getting me closer to them.
I love it. And it's very similar to your business partner, Nick Peterson's whole thing. You guys should buy Bumpers and Rigging the Game together, put them both in your Amazon cart. You know, because his whole thing is very similar. It's like, what do you need? Mm-hmm. Work towards that. And he's like, I really value naps. That's what I want to be able to maximize for.
Yeah. And he does. I can attest to having seen Nick nap many, many times, and the most uncomfortable, I have pictures that I will send you if you want them, of just, you know, like the most uncomfortable sleeping positions you can imagine.
I believe that. Now, and so let's talk briefly. We have to wrap up soon, but how did the guy sitting in, you know, the 22-year-old guy sitting there being like, accountant, business person, how'd you build this audience, this group, these people?
The short answer is just being relentlessly curious / annoying. Mm-hmm. So once I kind of get fixated on something, like, how does that work? So I started doing kind of the quote unquote internet marketing stuff 8 or 9 years ago, and was pretty quick to identify that the approaches that were being taught out there just didn't work for me. And so I'm a believer back to the like play your game, that I'm not like a bubbly big personality, right? But I believe that there is at least 100 people out there that my approach would be interesting to them. And so I just started with that. It's like, I can't pretend, it's not going to be sustainable for me to pretend I'm someone I'm not. I'm not that good of an actor, believe me. And so I'm just going to lean into to my sense of humor, to my animal print shirts. So I got a cat shirt on today. You can't see it since this is audio. I'm just going to lean into that and put out the things that are interesting to me. Because at least no matter what, back to rigging the game, at least if it's interesting to me, that it, if no one watches, I can at least look back and go like, well, I enjoy doing that.
Hey, but how'd you find those people, those initial people?
Mostly through partnerships or joint ventures. So just as an example, last week I did a webinar and these joint venture type webinars where there's a topic that's mutually interesting to both parties, right? So you market to your list, they market to theirs. You come together, now you have all their emails. And so doing those over a series of years where accumulating, trying to give as much value as possible, play my game. So I'm not trying to pretend that I'm someone that I'm not, because again, I'm not that good of an actor. Over time, you kind of build up a list. Now, a lot of those people, when you follow up with them later, they drop off because they're like, I don't want to actually be on this list. But if you're consistent about it and consistent enough with playing your game, that over a series of 3 to 5 years, you have this cohort of like 1,000 true fans that if you email them, they buy.
Yeah.
So it's playing the long game.
Yeah. Rigging the long game, one might
say. Rigging the long game. That's, yeah.
TM. Yeah, well, I'm going to go trademark it right now. I'll beat you. No. Now, okay. So what would be your advice, your number one bit of advice for anybody thinking of launching a book?
Take a micro step. So, and what's the, so micro step is a principle I teach in the book, but absent any data. So you've never written a book, so you don't even know if you're going to enjoy it. You don't know if anyone's going to buy it. So those are two pretty significant risks. I don't know if I'm going to like doing this thing, and I don't know if anyone's going to buy it. So what is the smallest step, absent any data, what's the smallest step that I can take to get to inform my behavior? So for me, that was, okay, well, if I can get 100 people to buy, then that's going to be a forcing function that I'm going to commit to working on it, right? Writing it. Now I put a good enough target that I'm going to bring in enough that's going to justify me taking the action. Mm. So I call that a forcing function. So it's $97 and 100 people. So basically 10 grand. Okay, that's enough for me to feel committed to doing it, and I can take the next step. So the tendency is, and I've done this before as a type A, ultra competitive person, is like, I'm going to write the whole book. I'm going to just like crush myself, like go all in. And then you get to the end of it and you hated the process or nobody buys it. So what is the smallest step I can take to validate that this thing is worth doing?
I love it. I love it. It also reminds me of this thing Seth Godin says about fear. To walk through it, you go, what is the smallest thing I can do in front of the smallest group of people in order to teach myself that fear won't kill me? I don't know. Something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Dan, this has been a sheer delight. Where should people go? Well, we bought the domain to send them to Amazon, correct?
Yeah. People should go to riggingamazon.com.
Who thought of that? Sorry.
It's a brilliant, brilliant person named Anna. I don't know her last name.
God, you got the word brilliant in there. So Dan, thank you so much for this. You guys, thank you for listening. Go get Dan's book. Only if you are a purpose-driven entrepreneur and you now know what that is, and rig the game. So thank you.
Wait, don't go anywhere. I have a surprise for you. Yeah, it's Anna. And I have a whole new podcast. Yeah, I do. Welcome to the Publishing Party Pod.
No, that's not an oxymoron.
I'm Anna David, and I'm the New York Times bestselling author of 8 books, including Party Girl.
And I'm Zara Berry, the critically acclaimed author of Girl Stop Passing Out in Your Makeup.
We're writers who think the life of a writer should be fun. Publishing Party Pod is for any writer who agrees.
In this season, we're focusing on all the things you are not supposed to write about.
Well, we do anyway.
Enjoy the party.
Find it wherever you get your podcasts.